Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Clouds of Glory, The Life and Legend of Robert E. Lee by Michael Korda is a large-scale historical biography of the Confederate commander, published for readers interested in the Civil War, military leadership, and the formation of historical memory. Korda presents Lee across the full arc of his life. From his family background and antebellum service in the United States Army to his command of the Army of Northern Virginia, and his post-war role as a symbol of reconciliation and controversy. The book is not only a campaign narrative, although it gives substantial attention to battles, tactics, and command decisions. Its broader purpose is to examine how Lee became a legend and why that legend remains morally contested. Korda writes with evident interest in Lee as a disciplined, religious, duty-bound soldier, while also acknowledging that his choices were inseparable from secession, slavery, and the Confederate cause. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Lee is a product of family inheritance, discipline, and antebellum military culture. Korda gives substantial weight to the forces that shaped Lee before the Civil War, especially family reputation, social obligation, and professional military training. Lee inherited both prestige and burden from the memory of his father, Henry Lighthorse Harry Lee, a Revolutionary War figure whose debts and failures left the family socially prominent but financially strained. This background helps explain the younger Lee as a man unusually attentive to restraint, self-command, and public duty. His education at West Point and his long service as an Army engineer reinforce those traits. Korda emphasizes that Lee was not formed primarily as a battlefield romantic, but as a careful officer trained in discipline, logistics, fortifications, and institutional hierarchy. This matters because it complicates later images of Lee as either a flawless knight or a simple rebel general. His decision-making grew out of a culture that prized honor, obedience, and loyalty to place, but that culture also narrowed his moral imagination. The biography therefore treats Lee as historically intelligible without making him morally exempt from the consequences of his choices. Secondly, the crisis of allegiance between the United States, Virginia, and personal honor. One of the central tensions in the book is Lee's decision in 1861 to resign from the United States Army and follow Virginia into the Confederacy. Korda treats this as the defining moral and political rupture of Lee's life. Lee had served the Federal Army for decades and was respected as one of its most capable officers, yet he placed his loyalty to Virginia above his oath to the national government. Korda is attentive to the mental world in which Lee understood that choice, including family ties, state identity, and the 19th-century language of honor. At the same time, the decision cannot be reduced to private anguish or regional sentiment. By joining the Confederacy, Lee gave his talent to a rebellion whose central political foundation was the defense of slavery. The book is most useful when read as an account of how a man can experience a catastrophic public choice as personal duty. It shows that sincerity and moral clarity are not the same thing, and that honorable self-conception can coexist with participation in an unjust cause. Thirdly, a command style built on audacity, personal authority, and calculated risk, Korda devotes much of the biography to Lee as a military commander, especially his leadership of the Army of Northern Virginia. The book highlights qualities that made Lee formidable: calm under pressure, a strong grasp of terrain, confidence in subordinates, and a willingness to take risks that more cautious commanders avoided. Chancellorsville receives particular attention because it demonstrates Lee's capacity for aggressive maneuver despite numerical disadvantage. By dividing his army and relying on Stonewall Jackson's flank attack, Lee achieved one of the most celebrated Confederate victories of the war. Korda does not treat such audacity as mere recklessness. He shows how it depended on reading enemy psychology, exploiting hesitation, and trusting experienced lieutenants. Yet the same command style had limits. Lee's preference for offensive action could produce heavy casualties, and his strategic vision was often tied to battlefield success rather than sustainable Confederate resources. The biography therefore presents military brilliance as both real and insufficient. Tactical genius could prolong Confederate resistance, but it could not overcome the deeper imbalance in manpower, industry, and political legitimacy. Fourthly, slavery and race as the unavoidable moral context of Lee's public life. Although Korda is often most detailed on Lee's character and campaigns, the book necessarily engages the issue that frames any modern assessment of Lee's slavery. Lee lived within a slaveholding society, benefited from it through family connections, and held views on race that were typical of elite white Virginians but morally indefensible. His private belief that slavery might eventually disappear did not translate into political opposition to the institution, and his choice to serve the Confederacy aligned him with a state project created to protect it. This is where some critics of the biography have found Korda too sympathetic or insufficiently analytical, particularly when compared with works that foreground slavery and emancipation more aggressively. Even so, Clouds of Glory makes clear that Li's reputation cannot be separated from the cause he served. The value of this dimension lies in the tension it exposes. A disciplined, courteous, religious, and personally restrained man can still support a profoundly unjust order. The book invites readers to examine how personal virtue can be invoked to soften judgment of public wrongdoing. Lastly, the making of the Li legend after defeat and its place in American memory. The subtitle of the book is important because Korda is interested not only in Li's life, but also in the legend built around him. After Appomattox, Li became a central figure in narratives of Southern honor, noble defeat, and sectional reconciliation. His conduct after the war, including his acceptance of surrender and his presidency of Washington College, helped make him usable as a symbol of dignity rather than rebellion. Korda traces how this image developed from real qualities, such as composure and personal discipline, but also from selective memory. The Li legend often separated the general from slavery, secession, and Confederate political aims, allowing admirers to celebrate military valor while minimizing the cause. This is one reason the book remains relevant beyond Civil War enthusiasts. It shows how biography can become civic mythology, especially when a nation wants reconciliation without full moral reckoning. Korda's treatment is not a simple demolition of Li, but it does show that remembrance is an act of interpretation. What a culture chooses to admire reveals as much about the culture as about the historical figure. In conclusion, Clouds of Glory is best suited for readers who want a substantial, readable biography that combines personal portrait, military history, and reflection on historical reputation. Civil War readers will find detailed attention to campaigns, command relationships, and battlefield decisions, while general biography readers will find a clear account of Li's upbringing, temperament, family pressures, religious outlook, and post-war image. Its practical intellectual benefit lies in showing how leadership, loyalty, and duty can become dangerous when detached from moral evaluation. The book also helps readers understand why Li has remained such a persistent figure in American memory. He can be studied as a skilled soldier, a man of strong self-discipline, and a participant in a rebellion rooted in slavery all at once. Compared with more specialized academic studies, Korda's biography stands out for its narrative accessibility and its emphasis on the interaction between life and legend. Compared with older, admiring biographies, it is more conscious of controversy and historical memory. Though some readers may prefer works that place slavery and emancipation more centrally, its distinctive value is that it gives a full, readable portrait of Li while leaving readers to confront the unresolved tension between military admiration and moral accountability. If you would like to support Michael Korda, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.